This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our February 10th, 2018 edition of Invest Talk. And as always, we are here to help you become an above average investor and try to stomp out the enemy that is human emotions and stomp them out, because those are the things that drive you to make poor investment decisions. And we are here to help you with that, to offer some perspective and help you make the best possible choices for you in your particular situation. Now, markets move in mysterious ways sometimes, and it's very hard to pin down the true cause of the most recent correction, but most likely it has to do with interest rates and the rise in interest rates. And the root cause, I think, is a combination of things. And we'll talk about what those are in a little bit. And when I say root cause of the interest rate move, because that's really what's driving the markets. So how do you respond to the news of the day? And that's the big question. How do you respond to this market sell-off? Now, today, the president unveiled an infrastructure program. So, as you might expect, infrastructure stocks did pretty well. Now, of course, that's far from a done deal. As a matter of fact, that's one of my talking points today. And Height Securities puts legislation, the odds of legislation passing, at only 15%. So its odds are pretty low that it will pass at least this year, maybe eventually, but at least this year. So what does that mean? What does this mean for you and your portfolio? So I welcome your calls. I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. And when I say ask a question, I also mean give your perspective. Tell us your story. You know, we love broad questions. I know everyone hears the stock-specific questions on the show on a regular basis, and we're certainly happy to answer those, and I try to broaden those topics out as much as possible. But broader questions are welcomed as well, whether that's more of a personal finance question and savings rates and maybe buying a home, whatever it is that has to do with money, we can help you with. We can at least give you some perspective and how to approach that particular topic. So what is on your mind today? What money questions do you have? Our 24-hour listener line is always open. So let's get to work on the phones right now at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Austin from Texas. I have a question about REITs and utilities. So I know that interest rates and the rise in interest rates recently has hurt REITs and utility stocks quite a bit. And I wanted to know if you think now would be a good time to start adding some REITs and utilities to my portfolio, or if you think I should wait a little longer and I can get some better prices. I would love to know your thoughts. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
All right, great question. I do think that is something to be looking at right now with the recent sell-off because of interest rates. And for everybody out there, the reason why REITs and utilities and just higher dividend-paying stocks in general sell off when interest rates go up is because now there's more competition. Right, more competition for that money that is looking for yield. And when you can get maybe a lower yield, but still a yield that's closer to what you're getting from utilities and REITs in a market like Treasuries that is more secure, more safe, money will begin to flow into the bond market and out of those yield-focused sectors of the market. So that's why they have sold off. Now, the biggest risk is that interest rates are going to continue to rise and that the entire move in the bond market or in interest rates isn't really priced into the utility and REIT sector. But I do think we're relatively close to the end of that route. Now, could it continue down another few percentage points? Sure. But it is a great time to start looking at your watch list of REITs, of utility stocks, and maybe pick one or two up. We've done that for some of our managed accounts. We're pretty income focused when it comes to managing our client portfolios, and this is a good time to find some great yields in those particular sectors. But once again, you have to make sure that they're companies that you like long term. You like the demographics trends, the cyclical and secular trends that are going on in those industries. And try to avoid any major blow-ups, any major risks that are beyond just interest rate risks, right? So be aware of that. But I do think it is a good time to be approaching those sectors and trying to find the great values that are out there, and there are some. Now, I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. And there are many things that investors need to know concerning both the stock market and the bond market and the economy. Don't forget psychology. That's a huge part of this. Psychology is what drives our decisions, right? And the emotions and the fear and greed that produces decisions that a lot of times, most of the time, is detrimental to your financial health. And if you understand them, you are able to control them and avoid those rash decisions. So how about the sunk cost trap? This is the most common, and when an investment has fallen in value, it turns into a bad trade, and investors have a tough time selling it because they want to get even. And they're thinking, is it's going to rebound, get back to where they purchased it, and they can get out. Now, this could happen always, right? But the best decision many times is to cut your losses and move on to something that will produce returns in the better returns in the short, medium, and long term. Then there's a superiority trap. This is when an investor believes that they know everything and all others who challenge the position that they may have on a particular stock or the market, etc., are wrong. And this happens typically to actually more educated people because they think they know it all, too smart to look at all perspectives, look at the pros and cons. So the best thing is to keep your ego in check and don't be afraid to open up to other people's viewpoints. And now one more, the relativity trap. That's when someone constantly compares themselves to others, their peers. For example, because your friend is trading in the currency markets, you should be doing that as well. The problem with that is everyone's goals, risk profile are different. And everyone's wealth is different. You know, your friend or colleague or family member might have more money than you or less. Maybe have different risk levels and time horizons for their investments. And skill level. Maybe they've been doing it longer. So make sure whenever you make one of those decisions that it's right for you. And don't just follow somebody else because that's what they're doing and you know, they feel like they're successful. A lot of times that can be a short-term thing as well. They may be doing well over a 2-3 year period, but have they been doing it for a long time through different cycles, ups and downs? Do they know how to handle those? And that's important as well. So try not to fall into these traps. Have an open mind. Make sure you understand the risks and rewards of whatever you're getting into. And then lastly, sometimes you have a bad investment, you make a bad decision, and it's important to move on many times. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. I'm a licensed real estate consultant and financial advisor as well. So I welcome your questions about any money questions. The broader the topic, the better. And for many of our listeners, there's a lot of important factors to consider when making retirement decisions, real estate decisions. How does it impact your financial future? So I'm open to your questions at 888-99-CHART. That's how I get through right now on Invest Talk.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Mike from Tracy. Great show. Really enjoy your information that you give us on a daily basis. I got a quick question in regards to PG&E. It's PCG is a symbol. It closed today at 38.24, and I was just wondering what your thoughts are on this stock. I know it's taken a tumble because of the fires up north, and I don't know if there's going to be more room that this stock is going to start sliding or continue to slide, or if it's a good time to get into it. So I'll listen on the podcast. And again, great show. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, he's looking at PG&E Corporation. This is a utility that is engaged in generation and distribution of electricity and natural gas in Northern and Central California. And they have fallen on hard times because of the fires up there. And there's some speculation that they caused the fires, and that could put them on the hook for billions of dollars in damages, even though they have about $800 million in coverage for things like this. And obviously, there were deaths involved, and that could create a large litigation, and they've actually suspended their dividend because of it. And we actually like it. I think typically events like this are overblown, and their ultimate resolution is something that is just a much smaller hit to the market or to the company than the market is worrying about, right? And it's uncertainty, and the market hates uncertainty. And so it's certainly much higher risk now than a typical utility stock, but we do think that eventually it might take 6 months, might take a year for those issues to be resolved. But I think they eventually will be, and there'll still be settlements most likely to some degree, because there'll be a percentage of fault most likely of, okay, they were 30% at fault, they were 40%, something like that. And then there will be some settlement in relation to that. They'll probably be dragged out for years, but there'll need to be some initial resolution of how much fault does PG&E have. And so you're going to have to be patient. There still could be some downside volatility, but I think most of that is behind it. But understand, it's a heightened level of risk compared to most utilities right now, and you aren't going to get that dividend in the near term until they resolve the situation. So that was PCG as a symbol. The name of the company is PG&E Corporation. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, what are we going to talk about today? What are our talking points? One is about dividend stocks and why they might be losing their magic, and how is the yield on the S&P in relation to the 10-year Treasury note? How do those yields matter? Why do they have a correlation? And why you know, like the caller said earlier, utility stocks, REITs, they've lost their luster. And I'm going to talk a little bit more of why. And then also active versus passive funds. You know, we've talked a lot on this show about how when the market's good, passive funds are fine. You know, everyone's been putting money into these index funds. And the story was always during more volatile times, you're going to see active funds outperform. Well, we've seen some volatility over the last couple weeks. And how have they performed? So we're going to talk about that. And when I say they, I mean active funds. And then the budget deficit. How is that moving markets? So we're going to talk about that. And lastly, the infrastructure plan. What are the details and where is the money going? But I want to hear from you. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. I'm glad you've opted to invest your hour with us today. If you have a question about anything money related, I'm here to answer it. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me right now on Invest Talk.
Hi, my name is Chris. I just came across your podcast, and I don't want to sound dumb, or I don't know how to approach investing really at all. So I'm kind of feel stupid in all aspects of investing, and I'm afraid to really touch it, or just kind of feel dumb to, I don't know what my first steps would be as far as to even start investing, what goals to set or anything like that, if I'm making any sense. I just don't know. I mean, I don't even know what I'm trying to make of this voicemail. It may be too much too low for you guys. You know, you guys may be too advanced for my questions to try to answer my questions or anything like that. If you could help point me in the right direction to start investing, and I'm only 31. I mean, I kind of want to have some extra income coming in now, if that's something that's plausible at this stage where I'm at of investing, which is, you know, the basement. Anyway, thanks for your time.
All right, that's a great question. Nothing too basic for this show. I actually like these questions because I think they can teach a lot of our listeners and not just Chris. And you know, the way I look at beginning to learn, you know, I remember back in high school when I was doing this, right? I was my grandfather founded our firm, and I sat in and watched him do what he did, and I just learned. You know, I didn't make any decisions. I just picked up terminology and asked questions and read and started to gather the knowledge to eventually make decisions, right? And it's just like learning, say, a new sport or a new language. Don't expect to learn it overnight. Don't expect to be good at it overnight. You know, I think back to my high school. I played basketball in high school, right? And I tried out. I was trying out for the team, but I had already gone through the summer program, and so they knew I was going to be on the team. And then there's these players that were coming in, and they throwing the ball over the hoop, and they couldn't even get it close to the backboard on a layup. And I just found out that they never tried. They never worked on the game, never played. And so they shouldn't expect to be good at that time. It takes a lot of work to be good at anything, right? And so when you're starting out, it's really about understanding the basics. You know, and the analogy, I guess, for basketball would be learn how to make a chest pass, a bounce pass, a layup, you know, how to shoot the ball properly. Right, and then once you get those down, then you work on how to run a pick and roll and do the more complex things that come with being a good basketball player. Right, and same thing with an investor. You got to know the terminology first. You got to really understand the different asset classes. What does it mean to create a portfolio, make a good investment decisions? What are the emotional aspects of investing? Risk versus reward of all different asset classes. So really your goal right now is to learn and save. And I think most people need about 2 to 3 years of learning and saving before they do anything. Obviously, it depends on how much time you spend. If you spend 80 hours a week learning terminology and, you know, doing paper trades and things like that, you can learn a lot faster. But for most people in their spare time, you know, doing this 10, 15 hours a week of reading and learning, you know, it's going to take you 2 or 3 years. And don't feel bad. Don't be in a rush to make a decision to invest. And learn, first thing is learning how to save. Because unless you learn how to save, you're never going to know how to invest, because you have no money to invest. So saving is the first skill you need to learn. And the rest just comes with knowledge and reading and just staying up to date on the markets and gathering those skills. And those skills are analyzing companies, analyzing markets, analyzing charts, analyzing businesses, analyzing the economic cycle, politics, the ebbs and flows of emotions that go in the markets, the different asset classes that are out there, okay? So don't be in a hurry. Take your time. Be consistent about learning, just like learning anything, whether it's a language, a sport, a trade, whatever that is. Be patient, and eventually you'll be successful as long as you stay with it and have an open mind. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, our main talking point is about dividend stocks, and are they losing their magic? And as of January 16th, which is, you know, a little ways ago now, the S&P was, at that point, was up about 1.75%, but the utility sector was down about 4.7, real estate sector about 4.85. So starting the beginning of the year, you saw utilities, real estate down because yields were rising. Since September, is what you don't realize is the 10-year has gone from about 2.03% to 2.88% at its high. That is about a 40% increase in the cost of capital. That is why the market is down. That is a giant increase that the market is not able to handle. Now, the difference between the dividend yield on the S&P of 1.74 and the long-term average of 4.3 is pretty dramatic, right? The all-time high was 1932 at 13.8% on the S&P dividend yield. The low was the dot-com boom at 1.1 or at 1.7. So you can see how overvalued in general the market is. And now, with interest rates rising so dramatically, the relative attractiveness of the S&P and that dividend yield is far less. And so this is what's driving the market change. Now give me a call. I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
We continue with InvestTalk. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. True or false, have you less tolerance for risk than you used to? Well, most investors have more doubts about the reliability of advice, the stability of the companies they're investing in. It's the current climate. But at the same time, you still believe that the stock market offers the most promise for your retirement. So you manage it yourself. Investors are shorter on trust, but they're still investors. So KPP Financial has a question for you. If you could form a partnership with a financial advisor rather than the typical client relationship, would that make more sense to you? Well, the principals at KPP Financial invest their own money right along with yours. That makes you more of a partner than a client. When they make buy and sell decisions for you, they're impacting their retirement too. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now let's get back to the podcast. This is InvestTalk. Are there options to piling on student loan debt? Maybe you have some thoughts on that. Check in with Justin now. His number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. I have a question. I'm looking to invest in a bond fund. It's the Vanguard Short-Term Fund, VCSH. Would this be a suitable investment for a retirement account for my IRA? But in this environment with interest rates going up, wouldn't this mean the value of this fund would be going down? So when would be a good time to get in the fund? Thanks for your show. I'll be listening for your opinion.
All right, well, she's looking at a Vanguard Short-Term Corporate Bond ETF. This is VCSH. And this is a short-term bond fund, yields about 2.25%, low expense ratio like many Vanguard funds out there. Certainly been going down because interest rates have been rising. You know, it's gone from, call it $81 a share, or $80 a share, down to $78.74, which, you know, is just a few percentage points drop, right? In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't seem like a lot. But when you're only getting 2.25%, you basically taken out the entire yield on the fund in a matter of 4 or 5 months, okay? So is this right for an IRA, a retirement account? It can be. There's nothing wrong with the fund if your goal is to have some income, albeit low amount of income, 2.25%, and not have a huge exposure to interest rate risk. Now you see it does have interest rate risk, as you've seen recently, but because its duration is about 3 years, it means that a 1% move in this fund is only going to create about, or 1% move in interest rates is only going to create about a 3% loss in the value of the fund. And so now that we've moved about 80 basis points, you're seeing that, you know, 2% or so, 2% and change drop in the value of the fund. So that's a good rule of thumb. If you're looking at any bond fund, duration is very important in an environment where interest rates are rising. And so if, for example, you were going to like TLT, which is a long-term treasury bond fund, that has a much longer duration, you know, 14, 15 years. So a 1% move in interest rates will have a 15% drop in that particular fund. So what you do with these short-term bond funds is you are not eliminating but reducing dramatically the interest rate risk, but you're also, you know, not getting as much yield as you are for longer dated securities. So, you know, as exposure to the bond market, I think this is a good one to have in this environment because you're getting some yield, but you're not taking a lot of interest rate risk. But it all depends on the risk you want to take in your portfolio and the whole mix that you're trying to create with your portfolio. Let's go to Will in San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Justin. Thanks for taking my call. I heard your comments early on the show regarding REITs, and I'm looking at ticker symbol KIM. I've been watching it for a couple of months, and it's down to its 52-week low, and I'm wondering if now would be a good time to start picking up some shares.
Well, you know, this is Kimco Realty. This is a REIT that owns, manages, acquires neighborhood community shopping centers in 34 states, Canada, and Puerto Rico. It's about a $6 billion market cap company. Yield 7.8%. Is that what you're after, that nice 7.8% juicy yield?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's certainly in this environment is fairly attractive. You know, my biggest worry, and probably one of the reasons why it's dropped from about high of $33, $32 or so back in September of 2016 to $14.32 today, part of that is the interest rate increase in the market, but part of it is also the retail landscape that we're in, right? With Amazon really taking over, and there's going to be pressure on rents because the demand for commercial real estate, especially shopping centers, community shopping centers, which, you know, is basically strip malls,
right?
Those aren't nearly as attractive as they have been in the past and probably even going forward. So that worries me a lot, and we're not in a recession yet, and so I don't think the economic impact of that is really going to be felt until we see a recession. So this is really high risk for this sector, and I just don't like this area of the marketplace. Now, is it cheap? Yeah, it's relatively cheap compared to its cash flows and the businesses or the real estate that it owns. But it's much higher risk than your average REIT, and I just don't like the sector overall. So I think you can, for me, I wouldn't be chasing this yield because, remember, if rents get cut, if their cash flow gets reduced, that's eventually going to flow down to the dividend yield. The dividend is going to be cut.
Right.
And that 7.9%, while it looks attractive today, if it gets cut, then you have a much lower level. A much lower yield. So what I would be looking at is a different sector of the REIT market. You know, whether that's senior housing or medical related or maybe apartment REITs, things like that. I think while you're getting a lower yield, it's going to be much safer. So I would not be buying Kimco, but I would be looking at other REITs, maybe in different sectors.
Okay, I got you. Thanks a lot for your comment.
No problem, Will. Thanks for calling. That was KIM Kimco Realty. Relatively cheap, but and I just don't like the sector overall. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question. We have about 15 minutes left in the show, so I'd love to hear it, whether it's about an individual stock, but we also love those broad questions as well about different sectors, maybe personal finance questions, or maybe your story. How are you handling this market? How are you handling the volatility? Were you in XIV or SVXY and had a blow up in one of those closed-end funds or ETFs? I want to hear from you. Now, we all know that there's been this mantra of everybody just going into passive funds, index funds, and away from actively managed funds. And we've talked about in the show that there's ebbs and flows of this trend, that during good times, the passive index funds tend to do fairly well. But when volatility hits, active funds who are more focused on finding good values, understanding the economic cycle, will maybe raise some cash from time to time, they tend to outperform. And now that we've seen this volatility, how bad or good have the active managers done? And the early conclusion, even though it's just a short couple week time period, is that they're not doing so bad. Especially value managers. We've talked about this for a little while. 2016, value stocks did much better. Growth had like a one, we think, final redux of outperformance in 2017. And now 2018, I think, 2019, I think the foreseeable future, the next few years, value is really going to outperform. And that's what you're seeing actually now. Morningstar analyzed U.S. active managers' performance so far this year, and found that nearly 76% of large cap active value and mid cap value managers beat their benchmark so far this year. And about 3/4 of U.S. large cap active funds beat their benchmark last year. So you're starting to see active management come back into favor. And the reason is because correlations are starting to come apart. It's not all correlated to what the market moves are. So far this year, about 56% of active managers have beat their benchmark. And this, like I said, as correlations fall and monetary policy shifts, you're going to see this occur. Active management is going to become more attractive, and value especially. And during the most recent sell-off between February 2nd and February 9th, 53% of active managers beat their benchmark, with large cap value managers and small cap growth managers large cap value managers were leading the way in outperformance. Now more than 2/3 of large cap value managers beat their market index during that period of time, and just shows you active management in more volatile times, less trendy times, bear markets, they do much better than indexes. Now, we talked earlier this hour about the psychological traps that can trip up investors. Here's one of them. It's confirmation trap, and that's when you seek out others for confirmation that you're making the right decisions. Instead of looking at somebody who's maybe had a different opinion of you or of that topic, and being open-minded to their opinion and weighing it against yours and the pros and cons, you go and seek out, and this happens a lot on social media and reading articles online and things like that, and the best person to talk to is somebody that's independent, and maybe it's somebody that you're not great friends with, but you know is successful in their own right, and get their opinion. They may be an acquaintance or maybe a distant relative or something like that, and look for their advice and look at their track record and experience, and maybe that will give you a broader perspective on what makes sense for you, and hopefully give you the tools to make a better decision. And maybe that's us. Maybe it's bouncing that idea off us and hearing our argument of the pros and cons of whatever you're thinking about. So someone who might cause you to differ or to cause you to defend your decision, or maybe offer a better idea for you. And you can count on Steve and myself to do that for you. Now, you know the number. I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We have about 10, 12 minutes left in the show to get your call in. Love broad questions about anything money related. I want to hear your experiences and how maybe you learned the hard way. And that's usually how most people learn. It's usually the hard way. It's not from hearing stories and perspective. It really is from, really making mistakes themselves, and I want to hear those. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Here's a KPP Financial investment program that may suit you. KPP is excited about Active 401k because this new system can help meet a serious challenge for the average investor: how to make informed choices within the limits of their employer's plan. If you'd like to know more about it, just go to investtalk.com when you're ready and click on the Investments tab and look for Active 401k.
This is Ray. I'm calling from San Francisco, California. I'd like to know the stock GE, and I believe 14, around 14 to 15 would be the lowest possible time at this point, and I want to know what do you think about going up or not. Thank you.
All right, looking at GE, I talked, I think, about this last week, more of a broader article that was written by Bloomberg talking about why GE's having problems. Well, they've just made a lot of bad acquisitions, overpaid for a lot of acquisitions. The business has become too complex. They had a lot of financial accounting gimmicks that for many years they beat earnings by a penny consistently because of financial gimmicks. And all those things combined really has driven them off course. And they're going to have to restructure the business. They're sell off assets. They still have a decent amount of debt on their balance sheet that they need to manage through. And so, you know, at this time, I'm still not a buyer of GE. I actually think it could go down to $10 a share. Originally, I thought maybe we were close to a good value, and there could be more downside. And you know, there was about a 10% downside from when I said that. But looking at it even deeper and technically, I just think there's too much uncertainty, and I think around $10 a share is probably where it's headed, and that's where I'd be thinking about buying GE. Let's go to Lee in San Francisco. How are you doing, Lee?
Hi, Justin. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Thanks for making it.
Either GE, Boeing, or Caterpillar. And Boeing is so expensive. And I noticed in 52 weeks, it went up from 152 to 340 or something. So When would be a good time to buy one of these? Or which one would be better buy?
Well, Boeing has had a huge run, right? Like you said, a lot of that is in the back of... Yeah. The Trump administration wanted to plow money into the defense sector, and Boeing's the biggest benefactor of that because they produce a lot of planes and missile defense things and a lot of defense-based products that they sell. So Boeing is one of those names that is just overvalued at the current price, and I would not be buying it up here. You know, the 28 PE, even though earnings are up only about 16% year over year, 2% dividend yield, I think it's just you missed it. Now, Caterpillar is a name that is a little cheaper, yields about 2%. They had a tough time for a long time, and I like the fact that they are more tied to the mining industry. I like commodities at this level, and I'm a bigger fan of Caterpillar. It's both. Neither of them are cheap. Neither of them are actually great values at this point, but if I'm picking one or the other, I'm picking Caterpillar over Boeing. Let's go to Steve in Wisconsin. How are you doing, Steve?
Hey, Justin, doing good. Yeah, I just wanted to tell you my situation. You know, I kind of really got the sense that the market was really heating up in January, and I've seen in the past where sometimes you have a really bad February. So I just kind of got that sense, and actually on January 26th, I actually bought the VIX. Not the inverse, but the VIX. Mm-hmm. And that really, you know, I ended up making 5, 6% on that. So between that, and I kind of pared down some funds. I have all ETFs. I, you know, took like a third off of the Dow, the diamonds, and a few others. And then I took a little bit of protection a few days later and just, you know, maybe did some inverse funds on the major indexes also. So I basically broke even right now overall.
So you just had a bad feeling
that,
about the market?
But, you know, a lot of what I learned from all you guys like you and Steve, to not panic and just really kind of take it easy and just, you know, take a little bit off, you know, and take a little protection. And it's all worked out great so far.
Well, I appreciate that perspective. I'm glad we could help you avoid this, I guess, market pullback, market wreck. Of something you just had the feeling?
Yeah, I could. You know, just the way it's getting so euphoric there, and I just really had a feeling that was going to happen. I'd heard a lot of people talk about volatility too, how we were going to have volatility this year, And I just kind of had that feeling, and I just timed it. Just got kind of lucky there, and timed it well. And I'm one of those guys too. In the past, I've made the mistakes back in 2008. I sold near the bottom, and you know, I got back in, but you know, I think I sold at about 8,000 on the Dow, and then I got back in maybe like 10,005 or something. But you know, I lost quite a bit on that, and I kind of learned from that. And listening to guys like you guys and some of the other guys out there, I really learned to just kind of take it in stride more, and it's going to bounce back, and just. You can just kind of lessen the blow a little bit. You know, that's pretty good. And I'm very happy with how things worked out.
Well, I'm glad glad we could help. Glad you could. Hopefully now you have the nerves of steel and you aren't making emotional decisions. And it sounds like you used everyone else's greed against them and got out and reduced your position and saved yourself a lot of money.
Yeah, it worked out well. And thanks again for all you guys do.
No problem, Steve. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Anthony in Hayward. How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, Justin. So in 2017, both my wife and I work in the education sector. We've maxed out our retirement, the 403 and the 457. So now I was wondering if it's possible to also open up a individual Roth IRA, being that, you know, we've maxed out the employers. Would you know offhand if that's something possible in this situation?
It is possible. There are income limits to Roth IRA, so that's something you want to talk to your accountant about, whether you qualify or not. But yes, you can open a Roth IRA. Are you guys in a low tax bracket, middle tax bracket, high tax bracket? What would you say?
We're kind of in the middle. Yeah.
Okay. So a Roth versus a regular IRA, because you could do either, that depends on your tax rate. Usually in a low tax rate year, you want to use a Roth. When you get into higher tax brackets, you want to use a regular IRA. But that's something you want to look at with your accountant and make the best decision for you. But yeah, you should be able to contribute to either a Roth or a regular. Obviously, there are limits in conjunction with what you saved in 403B, et cetera. But that's something that your accountant should help you with.
And also, like in our case, so I could start one as well as my wife, right? Even though that, you know,
yes,
jointly and all of that, we could still have two.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Right, right. Well,
you should be able to.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.
No problem, Anthony. Thanks for calling. Glad we can help. And I think it's time we wrap it up for this hour. Now, a reminder, Steve has a new San Jose date for individual meetings with our listeners. These are complimentary retirement portfolio reviews. The date will be March 14th. March 14th, if you'd like to reserve your hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor and licensed real estate consultant Justin Klein. Hope it's been a worthwhile hour for you. Steve and I want to thank you for making us a part of your day. Let's meet again here tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listening line at 888-99-CHART.